May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. And Jesus increased in wisdom and years and in divine and human favor. These are the final lines from the Old Testament reading and the gospel lesson for today. As I prepared for this sermon, I felt really drawn to these final statements. Maybe they're just there as transition statements, you know, like the biblical equivalent of, you know, the wavy lines on the screen and down at the bottom 20 years later. But there's something about these words that strikes me as very tender and very true. Like Samuel and Jesus, we grow up not only in physical stature, but in wisdom. And that growth is supported by our relationships with God and with God's people. These relationships are at the heart of the Christian idea of vocation. Vocation is kind of a hot topic right now, and I know this because it made the cover of Oprah's magazine. Oh. The cover reads, "Who Are You Meant to Be? A step-by-step guide to finding and fulfilling your life's purpose." There's even a quiz. When I saw that cover, I thought, ooh, what a great illustration for my sermon. I can use this to talk about the difference between how Lutherans understand vocation and how secular popular culture uses these terms. Well, yes and no. As often happens with magazines, what's actually inside isn't really what's advertised on the cover. And in this case, it's a good thing. Because instead of an overly simplistic step-by-step guide to finding your true vocation in 30 days or less or your money back, the magazine I found had a pretty good series of reflections on work, calling, searching, and being, including an article by one of my favorite writers, Anne Lamott. In her reflection, she concludes that you already are the person you are meant to be, a beloved child of God. And if you only take one thing away from this sermon, I hope it is that amazing truth. And I'm going to say it again. You are who you are meant to be, a beloved child of God. It's an idea worth repeating, because it's a way of looking at vocation that can get easily lost in all the history and cultural baggage that we bring to that term. In the Middle Ages, the term vocation was mainly applied to religious orders, priests, monks, and nuns. Martin Luther broadened the definition of vocation to embrace all the ways that Christians serve God and neighbor. By Luther's definition, his own vocation included teaching, preaching, writing, and changing diapers. Luther wrote that changing his son's diaper was as great and important a part of his vocation as anything else he did. These days, by any definition, vocation is a loaded word. It carries the burden of high expectations. The idea that my work has to be more than work, it has to be a calling. Our understanding of vocation can feed the tendency that we have to define ourselves by what we do. So that when that definition of ourselves changes, when jobs are lost or changed, when relationships are lost or changed, our sense of who we are can be shaken. Sometimes shaken to the very core. Before I went to seminary, I was a high school English teacher. All I could think about during my last weeks as a teacher was how great it was going to be a student again, to have that time and that luxury of really focusing on learning. I was unprepared for how deeply I would feel the loss of my professional identity. I didn't expect how shaken up I was, and all the doubt I would feel as I tried to figure out my new role, and the sadness that came and went, sometimes inexplicably, sometimes triggered by little reminders of my old life, like an email from Office Depot reminding me that my Star Teacher Rewards card had expired, or pictures of students and school events posted online by my former colleagues. Several transitions later, I'm no longer surprised when these changes, even joyful changes, bring sadness with them. I'm not surprised by the loss, but that doesn't seem to lessen the loss. Earlier, I gave the example of Martin Luther and how changing diapers was part of his vocation as a dad. When the day came that little Hans Luther no longer needed dad to change his diapers, I'm guessing there was probably celebration at the transition. But maybe also a sense of loss, a foretaste of all the expected changes in their father-son relationship. Expected, but still a loss. And then there are the unexpected losses. I think of Martin Luther's daughter, Magdalena, who died at age 13. It was an unexpected loss that shook Luther to his very core. I think of the patients and families I've met as a chaplain at Lutheran General, especially the families who gather to watch and to wait as their loved one is dying. It's the loss of possibility, the loss of the future tense. It's also the loss of her role as caretaker, his role as vigil keeper, the family's shape and definition of themselves shifts, shakes, and changes right under their feet. What happens to our vocation when what we've done to serve God and neighbor, to work and be in relationship and define ourselves, what happens when that changes? What happens to our vocation when what we've done in the past is no longer possible? When what we are capable of doing is not sufficient, and when we don't know what to do next? Can we find a way to define ourselves and our vocation that is less about what we do and more about what God has done and is doing? After the final words of our gospel lesson today, after Jesus increased in wisdom and years and in divine and human favor, the next time Luke introduces us to Jesus is as a 30-year-old man in serious transition. He's about to shake things up and start his public ministry. Jesus prepares for that vocation through baptism. Jesus is baptized, and God says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Who you are meant to be is who you already are, a beloved child of God. Nothing, no core-shaking loss, and nothing you can do can change that. Nothing can take away the vocation that you received at your baptism. In the midst of your ever-changing work, roles, and relationships, you have an identity that is unchanging. Our unchanging identity as children of God informs the changing ways we live that out in the world. I know that in the life of this congregation and in my own family, there have been some real losses this year. For me, hope has come in the conviction that even if you lose your job, even if you lose anything that has come to define you and sustain you, you cannot lose your vocation. You cannot lose the love and the family of God. Your vocation is affirmed every time we have a baptism, or an affirmation of baptism, or a remembrance of baptism. You are a beloved child of God, connected to God and to God's people by the promises of baptism. At your baptism, the people of God promise to teach you, to support you, and to pray for you. At every baptism you've attended, you've promised to do the same thing for others. And God promises to love you, to forgive you, and welcome you into ever closer relationship throughout your life and beyond your death. Reminders of your vocation can come in many unexpected ways and unexpected places. It comes from the wisdom of children like Samuel, Jesus, Katie, Emra, Anna, and Claire. The reminder of your vocation can come as you hold the hand of a grieving friend, or as you clean up your desk and pack up your memories at work. I admit it, the reminder of your vocation as a child of God can even come from Oprah. Best of all, the reminder and the assurance of our vocation comes to us every time we welcome a new member into the family of God with these words: "We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world." Let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks for the birth and the childhood of Jesus. We give thanks for your constant love and presence with him as he navigated transitions, losses, and even death itself. When we are shaken to the core, when we are lost or afraid, give us the assurance of your love and the love of your big family, the whole people of God. Guide us as we seek to live out our vocation as your beloved children, as we grow in stature and in wisdom, as we serve you and our neighbors in Christ. Amen.